Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're glad to tell you that our good friend Max Schultz is back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Max is Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy and the Environment. And he's been with us before, and he's here to talk to us about something I think is one of the most important debates. No, you know, I'm not even sure that this isn't the most important debate that we should be having right now in the United States, and also with our partners around the world. But this, the idea of energy, where it comes from, how we're finding new energy, what the energy we're consuming is doing to us and to our environment, all those things, that whole debate needs to be had, but it needs to be done among intellectually honest people, and we're not always doing that. We're going to get Max to help us sort this out. Max Schultz, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you back. I love your new white paper, Energy and Environment Myths and Facts.
Well, Jim, before I went to the Manhattan Institute, I worked for the Bush Administration Energy Department for a few years, and you know, we've been having these energy debates over the last couple of months. And you know, you may recall we had them back in 2001 when the president was sworn in. And one of the things that really bothered me, being kind of on the inside, seeing how this debate played out on Capitol Hill and in the media, was the degree of energy, what I call energy illiteracy, that's out there. That we have these debates, but people are so ill-informed about basic facts of our energy economy. And it's not just the average man on the street, but it's members of Congress, it's people in the media. And you know, we've seen it these last couple weeks with the debate on global warming in Congress, with the statements that the presidential candidates make. Everyone is very misinformed when it comes to these issues, and so I put this study out to try to correct what I thought was some of the misinformation that's out there.
Well, talk to us about what you think. There's so many things here, and folks, we're going to give you a website in a minute to tell you how you can find this report. But and you're gonna want to get it, folks, because I'm telling you, it's in plain English, and it will raise your IQ with regard to energy. And you can decide if you agree with, you know, if there's anything political in here, you can decide if you agree or not. But the facts are the facts, and that's what Peter, what Max has given us. Max, tell us what you think are a couple of the most dangerous myths right now.
Well, it's let's just talk about the debate that we've been having over the last week or so in terms of energy production and the environment. You know, we have the price of oil in the worldwide market has gone up to $140 a barrel. The price of gasoline we're paying in the United States is averaging $4 a gallon. And we're having this debate, it's playing out with our presidential candidates, on whether we should increase our supplies of oil. You know, we have, as a nation, we're actually, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but we're actually one of the world's largest producers of oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone thinks the Middle East, and they think Canada and Venezuela, places like that, and they're huge producers, but we're actually a huge producer, too. We're also a big consumer. But we've decided, for a variety of reasons, and I don't think they're all that wise, over the last couple of decades, to put off limits various areas of our country where we know we have tens of billions of barrels of oil. Parts of Alaska, the Outer Continental Shelf off the coast of the Atlantic and the Pacific coast, and parts of the Gulf of Mexico. And now that that oil is trading at such high levels and gasoline is so expensive, we're having this debate again on whether we should open up some of those areas. And here's where we see some of these myths come into play. It's more prominent on the Democratic side of things, but we've also seen it with John McCain, who say, you know, we can't drill in ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, because we have to keep this area pristine.
Yeah.
And it gives the impression that it has to be a trade-off, that it's either energy production or environmental protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually a myth.
Well, see, I was visiting with this Anwar thing is really one of the big myths, because I was visiting with some friends, and this one person, highly educated, professional person, said she didn't want to dress to drill in the Anwar because she didn't want to ruin the tundra. That was her comment. I don't want to ruin the tundra.
I'm not sure that person has ever seen tundra.
Well, the point that I made to her, and she didn't know, and I probably got this from you, Max, is that the Anwar is about 380,000 acres, I guess I should say, and the part that you wanted that we want to drill on is about 2,000 acres.
It's tiny. I mean, it's the area that that we would actually be drilling in is the size of a major city's airport, like Logan International Airport in Boston.
It's all right. Let me ask you this question. Here's something that I don't think I've ever heard anybody say. If we were given access to those 2,000 acres, what would be the benefit to the United States and the world oil market?
Well, it's hard to say it would cut the price of gasoline a dollar or two or whatever. It's hard to say exactly that. But I will say this: there have basically been two big reasons why oil has soared the last couple of years. One is the fact that we have a weak dollar policy in the United States, and then that's a sad indictment of the Bush administration and its Federal Reserve fix. But the other thing is that there is, and this is actually to President Bush's credit, the United States economy has been very strong over the last 8 years, over the last 25 years, to be honest with you. And the global economy is actually in pretty good shape. For all the bad news we're hearing these days, the fundamentals of the global economy are actually pretty sound. And so there's been very, very strong demand for oil all around the world, in the U.S., in Europe, in China, in India, where you're seeing growing demand there. But there are tight reserves around the world. And so there's been very, very kind of thin margins between the supplies that are available on the world market and the demand. And so we've seen in the last couple of years that the world uses about 80 million barrels of oil a day, and at times there are often only 2 or 3 million barrels in that margin, and that's one of the reasons why the price is so high.
And people who want that extra oil, the marginal oil, they're doing that demand is causing the price to go up, and when the price goes up on that marginal oil, it raises the price of all oil, doesn't it?
Sure, it does. And it would be very, very healthy for the global economy if we had Anwar producing 1 million to 1.5 million barrels of oil a day.
Hold on to that thought, Max. We've got to take a quick break. Max Schultz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. More to come right after these messages. More myths about our energy situation. So stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you just so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Max Schultz is our guest. He's senior fellow with Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy, and we're talking about the report that he produced about the myths and the facts about energy and environment. And Max, tell us where we can find this report.
One of the best places to go is to the Manhattan Institute website, which is www.manhattan-institute.org.
Okay. Manhattan-institute.org. Check it out, folks. And seriously, you really ought to read this. I wish your report were in the hands of every American who buys gas. I think a lot could be improved if we could get this report out into their hands. Max, the thing that I'm concerned about right now is we've got instead of intellectual honesty, instead of people saying, okay, here are the facts, let's debate how to manage these facts to our advantage on the energy side, on the conservation side, on the environmental side, let's debate these facts. But instead of that, Max, what upsets me is we got a lot of demagoguery. We got a lot of people who are not being intellectually honest in this debate. What do we do about that?
Well, we just have to start telling the truth wherever we can. You're right. There is way too much demagoguery, and way too much distortion and myth in the debates that we've seen in the last couple of years particularly in Congress, also in the media, and it's really unfortunate. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, well, we've got to find alternative fuels. Clearly, we've got alternative ways of powering our engines. Clearly, we've got to start conserving and finding other alternatives to carbon fuel. Clearly, we want to help our economy. But what I'm upset about, Max, is it seems that there are people out there who have no concern for what their attitude, their opinions, what they want to accomplish would do for the marketplace. Let's don't forget who brought us to the dance. The marketplace brought us to the dance. The environmentalists didn't bring us to the dance. The marketplace did. We've got to protect the marketplace, Max.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's one of the reasons why I found it so disheartening to see a lot of our elected leaders in the last couple of years start blasting the oil companies for supposedly jacking up prices and holding the consumer hostage. You know, we've seen this not just from Democrats, and that's a natural constituency for bashing a business, but from you know, when Denny Hastert was Speaker, he did it. John McCain has been doing it recently, and it's really unfortunate because I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of myth about who controls the oil market. You know, we hear all this talk about big oil, you know, ExxonMobil, you know, being the biggest of them, Chevron and BP and these companies, big oil, that, you know, with these huge profits, and you know, at the same time that we're paying a lot of money for gas. What people don't realize is just how absolutely gargantuan the global petroleum market is, and what a small piece of it is had by the supposed big oil companies. It turns out that ExxonMobil and Chevron and these companies actually aren't all that big when you compare them to the government-run national oil companies of countries like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and Russia. It makes ExxonMobil, you know, look like a piker. All told, the investor-owned companies, the, quote, big oil, those companies have control of something like 6% of the world's oil resources. Now, that makes them a pretty penny, sure, but it is nowhere near enough for them to be able to control the price of oil. And when people say, well, that's ridiculous, of course they're controlling the price of oil, I point to them what the price of oil was 10 years ago when oil was trading at roughly, you know, $10, $12 a barrel. Those guys weren't making money, and if they could have controlled the price of oil, you wouldn't have seen it at $10 a barrel a decade ago.
How much do you think of the price of oil is because of speculation?
Well, I think it's a part of it, but, you know, we
20%?
I don't know. You know, we talked about the very thin margins between supply and demand a few minutes ago, and when those margins are thin, speculation can help drive up the price.
All right, let me ask you this question: If isn't one of the reasons for speculation is, folks, one of the main reasons for speculation, which is clearly part of the price of oil right now. Everybody agrees, they just don't always agree on how much. It's because of concern for the supply of oil. If the United States could bring more oil online, that oil would be safe. It wouldn't be like in Nigeria or in Iraq where they're worried about people bombing them. It would be safe oil to deliver, and it would increase the inventory. Wouldn't that cause more people to go short on oil?
Oh, I think so. It would take tremendous pressure off oil. You're absolutely right. You know, the speculators are they're a part of the market, and I mean, you know, we have a market in commodity trading. They're a legitimate part of the market. If you know, we were putting more barrels of oil into the marketplace, it would relieve a lot of the pressure, and it would ease a lot of people's fears, and it would really bring the price of oil down.
Mm-hmm. And it would give us time to convert our engines from carbon to something else. And by the way, that's not corn. We don't need to be converting to corn or sugar. We've got to have other options.
No, it's not going to be corn or sugar. And, you know, we actually are, you know, for all this talk about how, and this goes to another one of my favorite myths. You know, President Bush said in his State of the Union address 2 years ago, you know, we have to get past the petroleum-based economy. We're doing that, and we're moving towards electricity.
Exactly. Stand by. Max, can you stay another segment?
Absolutely.
Thanks. Stand by, folks. We're going to get Max to give us. I want him to run down through the list of these myths that I think you'll enjoy when we come back after these messages. 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Yeah. And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Max Schultz is with us. He's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute Center for Energy Policy. He's written a white paper that I really encourage you to go to manhattan-institute.org and get it. Energy and environment myths and facts. Please get this, folks. I promise you, you'll be a hit at the next party when you can discuss these things in a factual way. Okay, Max, I want to ask you some questions, and folks, we're not going to go through all the multiple choice because I want to move on with this. But Max, I want you to give us some answers now. Where does most of America's energy come from?
Well, this is one of the great myths. You know, what we did with this report is we actually commissioned a poll where we asked the man on the street what they think about energy facts, what they know, what they don't know. And this is one of the big ones. If you ask people what our energy economy is, they're going to tell you it's oil. You know,
right.
We've been talking about it all morning. The news is all about oil and gasoline prices. But the funny thing is that oil is actually becoming less and less important to our energy economy. And that we've had this fantastic economic growth over the last.
It's the reason why the economy hasn't stalled and gone in the tank when oil prices have gone up. Per dollar of GDP, we use less oil now than we did 20 years ago.
That's exactly it. And while it certainly hurts to be paying $4 a gallon in gasoline, we are not as vulnerable as we were a couple decades ago. You know, the interesting thing, you know, we've had this, I mentioned this right before the break as we were going into the music, but the president chided us a couple years ago. He said, you know, we have to come up with an alternative to the petroleum-based economy. We've got to get away from it. Well, we're actually doing that.
And nobody's given the marketplace credit for that. That's what irritates me about the Al Gore scenario, Max, is nobody has given the marketplace credit for what we've already done for the last 25 years.
You're absolutely right. You know, in the last 25 years, you know, we've had this great economic growth, and I think since the statistic is something like 85% of that economic growth has been driven by businesses and industries in this country that are powered primarily by electricity and the fuels that generate it rather than oil. You know, 50,
right.
60 years ago, our economy ran almost entirely on oil. Now oil is less and less important, and electricity, and that means coal and nuclear and natural gas, these things, those are becoming much more important.
Right,
those are really becoming the backbone of
our country. And those are kind of an alternative fuel, even though they're kind of old-fashioned, like oil is. They're kind of an alternative to oil. Let me ask you another question. Here's another myth. Which foreign country provides us with the most oil?
Well, that's a great one too. You know, everyone will tell you it's the Saudis. It's the
right.
Middle East is where we get.
This is going to surprise you, folks.
And what people don't, and we talked about this a few minutes before. I think while we were off air, people don't realize that everyone knows that we import a majority of our oil. However, the greatest share of the oil that we use in the United States is produced in the United States, produced
mm-hmm.
at home, 40% of our oil. And then if you talk about our foreign suppliers of oil, people think, well, you know, we're in hock to the Saudis, right? That's not true. Our biggest foreign supplier of oil is our neighbor to the north, Canada.
Yep.
Coming in
guess where they're pumping some of their oil from, folks?
Right up near Alaska.
The tundra.
That's right. So, but the point is that the vast majority of the oil that we consume in the United States, and we always talk about how, you know, this is a dangerous world and all the geopolitics of oil and whatnot, the vast majority of the oil we use every day comes from North America, Canada, Mexico, the United States. And that what that means is that we have a measure of energy security there that I think a lot of people don't realize. That OPEC is not nearly the global power that they were.
We've made them more of a power than they should be.
We make them more of a power than they should be. And I think we're probably a little more afraid of OPEC than we need to be. You know, people remember the 1970s when OPEC wielded some clout.
Right.
They wield a lot less clout now because it's a much more diversified petroleum economy. Our economy, as we talked about a minute ago, is much less dependent on oil.
But you know, Max, we need to be doing things that will neutralize the power of Ahmadinejad in Iran and Chavez in Venezuela.
We do, and I'll tell you that the most important thing that we could do in the near term is to adopt policies which will actually drive down the price of oil, which we can do very easily in this country by opening up the spigots, opening up Anwar, opening up the Outer Continental Shelf.
I've got to wrap it up, but I'll tell you, I wish I were more hopeful that we were going to find the kind of leadership in Washington in the next Congress, in the next administration, that will give us a coherent, sensible, practical energy policy. I just don't have that kind of confidence. I wish I did.
Well, I agree with you, Jim.
Yeah. Max Schultz, ladies and gentlemen, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy. Max, well done today. Good job. You're welcome back anytime. Keep us posted on all the good work you're doing.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, see you next time. Max Schultz, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Quick break, right back with Art Kleiner. Art's back in town. Stay with us.
Mankind, dead kings, mad at things I can't define. Old cages, fives, wagons, flutter your mind.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.